Lord, we thank you that you are still king. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom's not a democracy. We don't get to vote because there's no one better than you. The option we really have is to rebel and make a mess or submit and have life in all its fullness. So this morning, Lord, I choose again to submit to your kingship and to enjoy the fruit of your kingdom. And I pray that you would lead many others to do the same in Jesus' name. Hey, it's great to be back on holidays. I will admit I was sitting watching church 2 weeks ago from Bullcock Beach in Caloundra, and it was not bad. The beach and church was both good. This morning, who likes a good conspiracy theory? Yeah, me either. I don't really like them. But I'll tell you what, I've always wondered about dinosaurs, not a lot, but a little bit. And I found on site this one time, this argument that dinosaurs were a conspiracy theory. And, you know, they pretty much had me convinced after reading all the arguments why they believed, you know, the whole dinosaur thing was a conspiracy theory. I was almost convinced. And I was just checking out the website and found this other article I started reading on how they also started to argue that the world was flat. That's where they lost me. Because, you know, I haven't been into space and I don't know a lot, but I'm pretty sure the world's a sphere. I'm pretty convinced on that. Well, 2020 has become a perfect climate for some good old conspiracy theories, hasn't it? Was coronavirus made in a laboratory? Did China do it on purpose? And the list goes on. But I want to be empathetic to those who may wrestle with conspiracy theories this morning, because, you know, what I find, here's my theory on why conspiracy theories can be so attractive, is that when I'm anxious, often I'll try to find information. The what and the why is one way I try to manage my anxiety. I try to find information, even if I don't, you know, even if it's not right. I need some kind of information to try and manage my anxiety. And I think that's sometimes what we do, is we go looking for information to try and manage our anxiety. What I want to put forward this morning is there's something better than information to deal with our anxiety. His name is Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace, and he can give us peace no matter what the circumstances to overcome. But to start this morning, my message this morning is entitled, "The Horse Might Have Bolted, But the King is Coming." It's a little bit out there, but I'll try and explain it as I go. And my first point is, it's hard to find peace in this world. It's hard to find peace in this world. And this is where I get that point, the horse might have bolted. And it comes from this verse, Revelation 6:4. And it's talking about the four horses of the apocalypse. You know, you normally find this in weird movies, and there's lots of theories out there what it means, and even a number of interpretations of what this verse means in the Bible. You know, theologians have different interpretations. But we want to look at it this morning, and it got my attention because it said, then another horse came out, a fiery red one, and its rider was given power to take peace from the earth. Interesting, isn't it? To take peace from the earth. It's hard to find peace in our earth, in our world. Now, some believe, and you know, I can understand this interpretation of this verse, is that actually the four horsemen of the apocalypse were released 2,000 years ago. And there's been waves of there, you know, like well, for example, the red horse is the one that takes peace and brings war. And so you look at Hitler. He took peace from the earth. Even Napoleon, you can go through history. And I actually did this, and you can Google wars in history, and this is amazing, right? In 1998, the Secretary of Defense of the US, and he's probably drawing on past information that originally came from the philosophers Will and Ariel Durant, I think their name is, and they said this, as of 1968, they went back 3,421 years, right? 3,421 years before 1968, and out of all those 3,421 years, only 268 of them had been free of war. Wow. And actually, that surprised me. I thought it'd be worse than that. Because our world lacks peace. if you haven't known, I'm a bit embarrassed to admit this, but I do like the movie Miss Congeniality. And, we are for world peace. Wouldn't it be great to see world peace? But we're not going to get it by looking to the world. I don't know if you remember, for those who were alive, I'm getting older, realizing that not everyone was around, back in September 11. And when two planes, one of the worst terrorist attacks in history of the world, crashed into the trade centers, psychologists say that the residual anxiety level of the world went to a whole new level. Hey, we live in a world full of fear, full of anxiety. I mean, look, just add coronavirus and people get weird. Not intentionally, but driven by fear and driven by anxiety. But, you know, there's another place that we can find peace. We are meant to find peace in Jesus. And this is where I say, the king has come. Jesus, Isaiah said this hundreds of years before. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor." You want to find a good counselor? His name's Jesus. "Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." See, Jesus doesn't just bring peace. He brings it because he is peace. You ever been around people that like just can't help themselves? They just create conflict. It's who they are. It just oozes out of it. They can't seem to help themselves. Well, see, Jesus is the opposite. He is peace. It's who he is. And so just being around him will bring peace to our soul. We want peace this morning. We just need to spend more time in his presence. We need to find him. We need to get in relationship with him. And we need to hang out with him. But I love this. In Matthew 21, Matthew using, I think it was Zechariah, I haven't double checked that. But again, Matthew quoting a prophecy from the Old Testament said this as Jesus entered Jerusalem, or about Jesus entering Jerusalem. He said, Matthew 21:5, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey." The symbolism of Jesus riding in Jerusalem on a foal is what kings did in those days if they were coming in peace. See, if they're coming to declare war on a city, they rode a white horse. But if they're coming in peace, they rode on a foal, a colt. Jesus came the first time round. He came in peace to bring peace. And you know what? We still live in that age. Jesus isn't coming to declare war on you this morning. You know how many people say, "If I come to church, you know." No wonder Jesus shut down services. He wanted church to come to you. Because too many people say, "If I go to church, the roof will fall in on my head." Well, it can't fall in on your head this morning because you're not here physically. Hey? He tricked you, didn't he? He came to you. He comes in peace. He doesn't come to condemn you. He doesn't come to give you a guilt trip. He doesn't come to mess things up worse. He comes to fix things. And he comes in peace. I love this picture. You may have may not have heard the story of Jesus in the boat with his disciples, and they're crossing the lake, and a great storm came, and Jesus is sleeping while the disciples are freaking out. I think sometimes we read that story and think, man, what is wrong with the disciples? But don't forget that at least two or three of those guys were seasoned fishermen. I don't think this was a bit of a breeze and a few small waves. These are seasoned fishermen in fear of their lives. So that the danger was real, just like it is today. I think the danger of coronavirus is real. I don't want to get it. But Jesus was resting in the storm. Jesus was resting in the storm. Notice what he said when the disciples freaked out too much and they said, "Jesus, don't you care?" You know, maybe we might be saying that today. And he got up and he just looked at the wind and the waves. And what did he say? He said, "Peace." He said, "Peace." You know what? If you want to bring peace in your world, you can't give it if you haven't got it. And you can't get it unless you know where to get it. Jesus gave it because he had it. He is it. And when we get him, we will get peace. And when I come into a room, I want to bring peace. I don't want to bring conflict. When I walk, I want to leave a trail of peace behind me, not conflict. But I can't do that unless I submit my life to the Prince of Peace, the one who came to bring peace. I can't find peace in this world. I looked. I spent some time looking. All I found was more anxiety, more fear, more anger. But when I committed my life back to Jesus, I found the peace I was looking for. I found the contentment. And you know what? Actually, I just want to share this. There's this great song we sing usually at Christmas time called Peace Has Come. And one of the phrases says, oh, hear the angel voices. You wonder why all of heaven was excited? Because Jesus was about to change stuff forever. Sing, come, let us adore him. Why? Because peace has come, for our King is with us. You know, when the King of Kings is with you, so is peace. Let him be with you this morning. Let him be with you this morning. But you know what? He doesn't only bring peace, he brings hope. And my final point this morning is I believe Jesus will restore peace to this world. The King hasn't only come, but he's coming again. Hallelujah. I don't know when. Actually, the Bible talks about the last days. Are we in the last days? Yes. Actually, if you look at the New Testament and study that phrase, we've been in the last days since Jesus came to earth. When Jesus was on the planet, was the beginning of the last days. It's the last chapter, friends. It was God's plan executed for all of eternity. When Jesus came to earth. And so we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. So we just need to be ready. We might be here for another 1,000. We might be here for another 5. Who knows? We just need to be ready. So don't get weird about it. Okay? Weird. Jesus is not weird. He's actually, if you've never met Jesus before, he needs to be your new normal. Hey, he needs to be your new normal. If you like Jesus, say, what's normal? A thing on a washing machine. No, let's just say this. Jesus is normal. Be like him. Want to be normal? Be like Jesus. Don't get weird. And don't make God look weird. Like, he's not weird. Don't make him look weird by having weird theories and stuff like that. Just not helping anyone. Not even yourself. Revelation 19:11. I love this. I saw heaven standing. This is John in his vision. He saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. Interesting. Note that. Not the foal, not a colt, but a white horse. Faithful and true, with justice he judges and wages war. You know why he's coming back on a white horse? Because he's going to fix the world. He's going to defeat the enemy once and for all. He came in peace to save people. Now he's coming back on a white horse to fix the enemy, to destroy world systems that can't fix anything, and to destroy the enemy, the devil, who makes such a mess around our world. That's why Jesus is coming back on a white horse. And that's our hope. That's what the Bible says, Paul encouraged people to encourage one another with these words. We don't do that enough, Encourage one another with the fact that Jesus has come and he's saving people by his spirit and through us, but then he's going to come back on a white horse and going to fix. That's our hope, and that's where we're longing for his return, just like the Bible tells us we should be. I love Isaiah 9:7. It follows on from Isaiah 9:6, the same prophecy. It goes on to say, of the greatness of his government. So of the greatness of the government, so the government, the kingdom that Jesus establishes, there will be no end. So the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. You know what that means? Jesus has started something that he's going to finish, and there will be no end to it. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian today, you're part of a kingdom that's growing, getting stronger, and will never, ever end. If you're not a Christian today, what are you waiting for? Everything else is turning to custard, friends. Just have a look around. Just watch the news for a while. If you're not on the kingdom side, you're on the wrong side. And I'm not trying to condemn anyone this morning, but I know, when you vote for someone, you want to know they're going to fix some stuff. You know why I vote for Jesus? Not that I get to vote, but you know why I join his camp? Because he knows how to fix stuff. I've been trying to fix the world for, 30 years. I haven't made much progress, have I? But Jesus is fixing the world, and he's got a plan to fix it once and for all. Hallelujah. That's why I choose his side. And I love where this all lands. If we look at Revelation chapter 20, like after Jesus has conquered sin and death and world systems, And it says this, chapter 21, verse 3 and 4, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes.'" That'll be good, hey? Hey? Sounds like sadness will be gone. That's a good day, friends. It's a good day. There will be no more death. I'm pretty excited about that. Or mourning, or crying, or pain. Won't it be good to live in a kingdom, in a world with no pain? "For the old order of things has passed away." Hallelujah. You know what? We live in a time now where Jesus has established a new order. But the old order is still with us. But when Jesus comes on the white horse, when Jesus comes again, the old order will be done for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad that when Jesus returns, he'll restore peace to the earth. But you know what? While I'm waiting, I'm just going to let him restore peace to me. Sometimes I need to do that every day, a few times a day, just to let him be my Prince of Peace. And I want to encourage others to seek him, not look in the world, but to seek Jesus and look to him to be their peace. You know what? When we have Jesus in our lives, we don't really need to know what's going on. I don't need to know the origin of coronavirus. I just need to pray protection over me and my family, my nation, my world. Ask for God to get rid of that thing. I don't need to make any weird theories about it. It doesn't change anything. You know what? No matter what conspiracy you want to follow, it doesn't change our mission, if you're a Christian, is to go into the whole world and make disciples. You know, whether there's a one world government, whether the government's got cashless society, it doesn't make any difference, friends. Doesn't change our mission is to preach the gospel and go into the nations and make disciples. Keep focused on that. Keep focused on Jesus. Don't get sidetracked by weird theories. Man, they'll just do your head in and confuse you and get you off the track of what you're supposed to be focusing on. But this morning, I really want you to encounter his peace. And I'll never forget, you may have heard me share this story before, but I'll never forget being in a John Wimber conference. He was a healing evangelist. Probably back in the 80s and 90s, and I had the privilege of going to one of his conferences and hear him share this story. And John Wimber saw many people healed. He'd pray for people, and his church would pray for people and see lots of people healed. Not everyone, but lots of people healed physically. And a lady in his congregation got cancer and was dying, and the Lord, he was really praying about this because the lady wasn't getting well, and he felt the Lord say, "This sickness is going to be unto death." Now, how do you share that with someone of the country in America to get the latest treatment? But you know what, if she had, she would have died over there away, you know, on the other side of the country, away from her family. And so John Wimber very appropriately, discreetly shared, I don't believe you will recover from this and need to prepare to meet your Lord. And so the story goes that this lady passed away. But when they caught up with the nurse the next day, you know, the family had been there, they'd say their goodbyes, and then in the middle of the night, she just passed away quietly. But the nurse said, "Oh, that's interesting. You know, last night, the other night when I was with your wife, your mum, with this lady, she got into her best nightie, and she did her hair all lovely. I said, 'You look lovely tonight.' And she had said to the nurse, I'm going to meet my king.'" I don't know about you, but in the midst of cancer, I'd find it hard to find peace. But here's this lady with her faith and found peace in the midst of horrific circumstances, really, for her. But she knew her king, and she'd found peace in going to meet him. This morning, I pray that you've met Jesus. I pray that he is your king. You can keep looking for peace in all kinds of places, but I just don't think you'll find it. Because I've become convinced that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that he's the only source of peace that we have. This morning, and the slide will come up, I just want to pray this prayer. If you want to give your life to Jesus, just pray this prayer with me. It's as simple as that, because it's not about the words of the prayer. It's about the faith you bring. Pray it with me. "I need you, and I believe in you. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and for giving me life and eternity. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And as the worship team brings this next song to us, I love it. It is well. And I want to challenge you this morning. Is it well with your soul? It's well with my soul this morning. You know, and I can go throughout a day and, you know, it's well with my soul in the morning, and by lunchtime it's not so well with my soul. So I just need to pause. I just need to refocus on Jesus, my Prince of Peace, and let Him make it well with my soul again. So as the worship team brings this worship with us, and allow the Prince of Peace to make it well with your soul this morning.